Bill Padley.
Bill Padley.
On TRE, Talk Radio Europe.
It's 11:31, it's Friday the 9th of March, and every second Friday we have Myra here from the Citizens Advice Bureau Spain, and today is no exception, except you weren't well a couple of weeks ago, so I hope you're feeling a little bit better.
I am improving a lot.
Delighted to hear it. Now, you rotate, if you pardon the pun, once a fortnight. Mr. Grumpy is in the middle of you. But today you're going to be Mrs. Grumpy, I think. I've got that kind of feeling.
A little bit, yes.
You might be Mrs. Grumpy
yes,
today.
Yes, I think he's been missed, hasn't he?
Now,
I'm not happy today.
No.
I'm happy with everybody, and I'm happy with the radio and all the listeners.
Yes.
I'm just not happy with the latest EU proposal.
No. Now, you sent this to me, and this is something that is worrying you so much, you've even been dreaming about it, Myra.
Yes, Theresa May was there while I gave a talk. She insisted on having photographs taken with me. I couldn't get my point across. I kept saying just one more thing. So it really has been on my mind for a long time.
Now, what document are we discussing? I mean, the beginning of it is brilliant. We're talking here about part two of a document, Citizens' Rights, Title One, General Provisions, Article 8... and that's what we're talking about. Now, I read through this, and I've got to confess, Myra, frankly, I felt like jumping out of a window after looking at this. So maybe you're going to have to explain it to me in words of less than four syllables.
Yes, this is... Well, you know that CAB, in particular, Citizens Advice Bureau, we're a civil society organisation. Our interest is citizens.
Absolutely.
And in this case, we're looking at one particular citizen, which are UK nationals residing in Spain, whether legally or not.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I've been following all the negotiations since Article 50 was triggered.
Yeah.
A lot of people sort of want to say we don't know what's happening, ignore everything until it's all over, and I don't agree with that because we need to see what they are planning for us. And what I discuss and why I follow this has got nothing to do with being in or out of the EU. Britain says it's leaving, and I believe it'll leave. It's about looking after our citizens here and holding on to our acquired rights.
Yes, and there's no point in worrying about it when it's too late to worry about it. Now's the time to look into it.
Because we've got... The thing is, UK and the EU... I think this was the 28th of February, this proposal was published and decided on. They agree, and even the Brexit steering team, who has the very well-known guy, Guy Verhofstadt, who is always standing up for citizens' rights, they're all agreeing with this part too.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't think, because they're agreeing with the part two, there's only one part they don't agree with, and that's the transition period.
Right.
Whether that should include all the four freedoms, because Britain wants trade, single market, and Europe is saying then, therefore, the transmission period includes citizens' rights.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I can see them disagreeing, but each time they've come out with a proposal on citizens' rights, and as much as I was hoping the EU would protect us, because Britain didn't seem to be, because of its problems for not adhering to the freedom of movement directive, they've got people there without documentation, but Spain is different, and I stand by the fact that we should not lose our acquired residency rights. By this, for people that think I'm saying that we're going to be thrown out, I'm not saying that. Some people will be.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite clear that some people will be. What I'm saying is, everybody, whether you voted out, you voted in, you wish to be in or out,
shake it all about.
Yep. You're living in an EU member state,
and
they want to change the rules.
I'm interested that you say you seem fairly definite. You said that some people will be thrown out.
I'm very sure. I've followed this too much. Remember, we're a citizens' advice bureau where people send us problems. Mm. And a couple of years ago, we started getting lots of what were systematic checks on people who were residing here, being asked to, from the ministry, just picking people out of a hat and telling them, go. They weren't permanent residents. This permanent residence thing was our security, but we're losing that security blanket now with this latest proposal.
Who do you think will be thrown out then?
I think, you see, you can't expel an EU citizen.
Mm.
And it's quite clear in the proposal that if you don't meet the requirements to remain as a resident here, they will ask you to leave. That's quite clear.
Right.
Not talking about people who are residing legally. We're going to have to jump through hoops that I didn't expect.
Mm.
But those that are not residents should please contact us or try and regularise their situation. Take out your residency because you've got the chance, if you take it out now, where are we? If we look at the transition period, and I can't see Britain will say we're not going to agree with that. What they're saying is, what Britain's saying, the withdrawal date is March next year.
Yeah.
Only next year.
I mean, it's come up so fast, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It is. Time does fly, doesn't it, when you get to our age.
When you're enjoying yourself reading.
Or you get to my age. So that's 2019. Britain wants it all ended there. So 2 years after that, we'd have to regularise our situation, all of us, permanent and non-permanent. But Europe is saying if Britain wants to stay in the single market, wants all those advantages, then we must carry on and our rights. So it would be, they're saying December 21st, I think. We still have 2 years after that. It's going to be madness.
Mm.
We have 2 years after that to change our residency document.
Right, right.
I expected this to happen anyway because we're in the register for citizens from the European Union. I expect we're in the wrong register and I expect we'd have to have a new residency doc, might be the card with a photo.
So there are two issues here. There are people who are not
legally resident,
even though they ought to be. And then there are people who are legally resident and they will have to change the documentation of that residency.
There's actually three because there are people who are permanent resident, which we hoped would give us protection, but it looks like we're going to have to jump through hoops, and those that are not five-year permanent resident.
Oh, that's what you mean. So those who have passed a five-year being resident.
But if they start now, I was thinking, where are we, 18, 19, 22, they could become a permanent residence before they have to. A lot of them will. Everybody that's here now, taking their residency now, before they've got 2 years to change their document.
Mm-hmm.
Unless anything changes and we don't leave the EU, but I don't see that happening. And you can take court cases saying, using part of a treaty, part of an article to say...
This is the Dutch thing you're talking about, isn't it? Yeah.
You can do that saying that it's given to us on top of our citizenship, but you can't ignore the first part that says we are EU citizens because we come from a member state.
Let me just remind people, by the way, if you want to ask any questions or indeed contribute in any way, 952 78 4000 or studio@tre.radio. Now, you do mention there, and we've talked about this endlessly before, about getting residency, and of course, there are some people who even... though they might want to get residency, don't actually qualify. So some people they're in a difficult position.
This proposal makes it clear that there are some who have residency. All of us will have to show that we qualify. All of us.
Again.
We're going to have to basically go through all the... I didn't think it was going to happen for permanent residents, but I can read you some parts of the proposal where it makes it quite clear.
So those who have already met the qualifications and have a piece of paper would have to...
change
those
the document.
Qualifications
yes,
again.
And to change that document, I might not have to look at my notes here. To change that document, that certificate that we have, whether it's a little small one or whatever it is, we would have to have a valid ID. That's understandable to show who we are. Look, we've got our residency. As long as you've got your residency legally, you would have to.
Let's take a call as they come in. We have a caller. Good morning. You're live on TRE. Who's that?
Good morning, it's Charles in Mallorca here.
Hi, Charles, what can we do for you?
A question, I've been here 30 years, and I'm receiving a pension now, which is part UK, part Spanish. Mm. Yeah?
Yep.
What sort of documentation would I have to change? I mean, I'm here, as a UK citizen, as a European citizen.
Okay. You're a resident here for 30 years. You say you've been here for 30 years. Are you legally been here for 30 years is the question I need to ask you.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So what they're saying in this proposal, we thought we would just... A lot of people thought they wouldn't have to change their documents. It's obvious that we have to. And it's actually in the proposal. Each time they have a proposal or agreements, it gets more difficult for us instead of getting better because this pushing to have our rights. It's for so you're a permanent, yes.
And wait, so in other words, way past the 5 years.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're, so
don't wait.
Okay, so permanent residents who reside in the host state, which is you and I, for a new resident document after the verification of their identity, this is 2 years after the transition period, you'd have a criminality check, a security check, mm-hmm. and in accordance with point P, we won't, of this paragraph, confirmation of ongoing residence. Confirmation of ongoing residence for you and your family members, whether EU or not, will be the documents that are in Article 8 of the directive, the Freedom of Movement Directive. Basically, that gives us all the documentation that we used when we applied. We don't know Spain. Spain can make it easier for us. They don't have to do this, but they have the right to do this. And knowing the Spanish bureaucracy here, I'd have to say I'd eat my hat if they don't do the whole thing, go through the whole process.
So what you're saying, Myra, just to be clear, yes. you're saying that in the case of our caller here, yes. even though he's a permanent resident, the requirements for that residency would have to be reproven from scratch. So if your circumstances yes. have changed, in fact, then you could actually fall in the category where you didn't actually get residency.
Meet the criteria. If there's been any fraud in people's applications, they'll be refused.
Or if your financial situation has changed.
If your financial situation has changed, you can't become a burden on the state now. If they think yeah. you're, and we might think some people do not, but I know a lot of cases where people have been homeless or moneyless here, and the social services have had to take them on, people right. who are ill, who they're saying disability, you can't expel people with disabilities. That can't be an excuse.
So it's almost like having passed your driving test and having to resit your driving test, whether yes. you've got a license or not.
Yes. This basically. Is in the proposal, and right. Spain has the option to make it easier.
Does that make sense in any way?
Not really.
it doesn't make sense, but that's the... Yeah.
You'd like to remain as you are, I presume, like a lot of us are, just change your document for another one.
The point is, about 60% of my pension is actually paid by Spain. It's actually pretty much in relation to the 20 years I worked in the UK and the yes. 30 years I've worked here.
Well,
and paid my Seguridad Social.
Yes. Well, for those that are in the, and I've spoken about this before, for those that are in the Spanish social security system, you get some added protection and you can turn to Europe for help. But this is not going to help you with your residency document. So those right. in the social security system can still go to the EU. Those that have worked here can still right. go to the EU for recourse or anything. But that's not going to help you when you change. This is just about changing your residency document that you have now, your certificate.
Yeah, I'm on that silly piece of green paper.
Yeah, the little one, the big one.
The A4.
Yeah, and it probably says that
you're theoretically having my passport with me all the time, which of course I don't.
Well, after when you become a third country national, you probably have an ID card. you won't need to take your passport
then. I believe, in fact, that there is a new ID card which we can ask for now.
No.
I haven't done so.
No. No, you're talking about the little, it's not an ID card, it's your, none of your certificates of residency are ID cards. You're talking about the small ID size a card without a photograph. It's like your flimsy old green one, but it's small. And you should check on your certificate. It's good to have it, even though I'm wondering why now, as I always push people to check that it says that you're a permanent resident. Residente permanente de la Comunidad Europea. Check that, sir. That helps, because there's two places I know, two police stations, I'll name them. Fuengirola is one, and Torredembarra is another one. We're telling citizens, residents, that the certificate you have, the A4 green certificate, has expired after 5 years. Absolutely tosh. So can you imagine when
it's got no date on it, Myra.
Exactly. It doesn't expire. It's in the law that it doesn't expire. But they don't know that. Imagine when we're now going en masse, they say 300,000 of us, more like three times that or double that, we're going to go and either register or update. We're not going to be popular, are we?
No. Well, there we are. I think, it's a wait and see, I think, actually, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly it. It does seem that, I quite agree with Myra dealing with things now, before they're set in stone, when we can still have some of this stuff, there's not enough information to deal with
anything. No, well, that's right.
There is if you've been following the negotiations. There is certainly enough to make me be Mrs. Grumpy today.
We really appreciate your call, and hopefully we can help in some way. Thank you so much. All right. Another caller. Good morning. You're live on TRE.
Good morning, Bill. It's Dave. I hope you can hear me. It's a bit echoey where I am.
We can indeed, Dave. Do continue.
Nice to hear Myra. She's always so well-informed and, more importantly, accurately well-informed with the situation. I'm actually waiting for a reply from Guy in Belgium, the ex-Belgian Prime Minister.
Mr. Verhofstadt.
Yes, that's all. And I was trying to avoid saying his surname. Thank you very
much. It's not advertising, it's his name.
Yeah, but at least I owned up to it. Anyway, what I've done is I'm waiting for a message for him because it was him that had the proposal to introduce a sort of self-membership of the European Union whereby you wouldn't get a passport because that needs to be of a specific country, but rather an identity card, which would be contributing, you'd pay a certain amount every year, and you would buy yourself back into the European Union. Well,
I'm glad. Yeah. Do let me know through cab what he says, because he's the one that says he's championing our cause, and I'm a bit disappointed, though I communicate with the Brexit steering team and Michel Barnier, but...
I'm waiting for a specific reply from him at the moment, but it's his baby, and he's quite keen on the idea. It doesn't affect me. I have no personal interest whatsoever because I'm a Spanish national.
I was going to say that, yes.
Thank you for fighting for others.
But it's basically information purposes that I can give out as well. There's a lot of people that have contacted me asking whether he's still keen on that. I'm absolutely positive that he will be.
Dave, can I come in on that?
Carry on.
And, you know, I have a lot of faith in him. I have so much to date, but I see what's happening, and he's backtracking. And he's backtracked because a couple of days ago there was a resolution by the steering team, and no mention of anything like that. It doesn't seem possible, Dave.
I think it does. He's highly placed in there. It's just at the moment there is so much other stuff going on. It's in its line of things to be sorted out, and it's not number one, obviously, at the moment.
No.
Mm. But he has been a champion of people's rights.
I've been saying that, but I'm seeing something else now, I'm afraid. I'm seeing that trade deals and everything else are much more important than us. I didn't think I'd be saying this.
They are much more important.
No, to Guy as well, I'm afraid.
Well, basically, he will also follow the line that's been undertaken by the European Union, that there are things that are much more important. The number of UK nationals that are legally registered in Spain is now down to 240,000.
Mm.
That was in the paper this week.
I saw that, yeah.
But some of that was due to the different process whereby you have to reapply your padron every 2 years, where it used to be for law. And I'm sure that's the case with the local Tony Alfaz LP, which is actually taking the institute's department to court because they, at a stroke, wiped out 3,000 people off their book.
Right,
They're not receiving the money.
You know? Dave, can I just say, because you may go off shortly, do please listen to the resolution by Guy Verhofstadt, what he said. And he's also said that he agrees with this part two that we're discussing today, which is what's going to take our rights... well, it's not going to take our rights away. Our rights to reside will be here, but we're going to have to... I have a complaint. We've acquired our rights, and just because EU citizens in UK... and not got registration documents like us, they're having to go through the whole thing again. And that's no reason why we should have to.
I actually
won't be forced, and then there's other reasons I wouldn't, because I don't agree with a lot of things.
Well, you've told us before, Dave, how difficult that is to jump through that particular hoop.
Yeah, it's quite. They make it. You have to be basically pretty much pretty integrated. I'm sure Myra is.
I have Spanish. My great grandmother is Spanish, but that I'm not going to be forced into it at the moment. And because I'm a bit of a political animal, and I don't believe with a lot of the politics here, I won't become Spanish.
Well, I've been involved in politics here as well, so I understand that.
Me too. That's why I say that. Good luck, Dave.
I follow it closely as a matter of course every single day, but I'll let you know what he says. I'm waiting.
Please contact us because I've got something up my sleeve as well.
I'll pass the message on to Bill.
You're a star. Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate it, as always.
Okay.
Have a good day, Dave. Cheers. Bye-bye. Fantastic. What a team. You and Dave, you can sort it out between you. Don't mind Guy Verhofstadt.
Even though we've got... I was confident and relying on Guy Verhofstadt and his team, and I've been communicating with Nicholas Lane from the Brexit Steering Group, and they've been very helpful. But I see that they're... he's saying what he's saying is one thing and what he's doing is something
else. That's very unusual for somebody involved in politics.
Exactly.
We've got millions of people calling. This is the calls have gone nuts today. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Who's that?
Good morning. Philip from Mallorca.
Hi.
I came in at the tail end of the conversation, but your last caller talking about the green paper.
Yes.
I've always had a plastic ID near with a photograph. And I've been here for over 40 years.
Are you a UK national?
No.
Ah, that's why.
Is that why?
Yes. And, yes, you're not a UK national. You've got a TIE, I presume. Tarjeta Identificación Extranjero with a photo on it. So it doesn't affect you if you're not from the UK.
So I see, because lots of my friends have the green paper and no ID card.
Yes, because they're UK, because they didn't have to have the card.
Right.
So
right.
You're okay, hang on to that.
Well, I just had
unless,
to do that
unless you're a
month.
Partner, unless you're a partner of EU, and then you could be affected.
Oh.
If you're a partner of a UK national, you could be affected.
Right. Okie dokie.
All righty, thank
lovely.
You so much for
thank
your call.
You.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Another caller, good morning, you're live on TRE. Who's that?
Good morning.
Hello, how can we help you?
This is Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Have you not covered something that must concern a few of us?
Go for
I
it.
I bought my little apartment in 1986, pre-common market. I only come here for certain weeks in the winter. What's going to happen to me?
Well, okay. That's interesting you say that, because I've just had an email which says exactly that. I own a property in Spain but use it for winter break, so I'm a non-resident. What are the proposals
okay.
saying about British property owners in Spain? From John in Murcia.
What they're saying, what the proposal is actually saying on that is, well, what it's saying about us that are residing here, that we will be allowed to enter, because we've made our freedom of choice and we're already residing in an EU member state, we will not need visas to go in and out of Spain. Okay?
But I live in Britain.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They're talking about us. So there's a little clue there. I'm not saying you're going to need visas, but it's not going to be quite the same when you come over. We don't know. They're not. This is the next stage, I'm afraid, but we will carry on discussing this when that stage comes out, because they're just talking at the moment about citizens who actually have exercised their right to live in a member state. They're not talking about visitors yet. That's the future.
Even if you have a property in Spain?
No, that's the future. But
right.
Don't worry, because people have, you know, you bought in 88, people will still come on holiday. There's no way Spain will not want you to come on holiday. Mm. You might have to maybe go in the queue that says non-EU.
Yes.
With everybody else, but not, don't worry, please, and follow the radio station.
But
we'll update.
But the property will be safe.
Your property will be safe. You will inheritance will change for you. You'd have to contact us about that.
Mm.
That's already
okay.
in the law. That's not something out of a crystal ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. The inheritance tax, especially for Andalusia, it's gone up to 1 million.
That's right. Yeah.
Allowance. This is for those that are either residing in a EU state or their beneficiaries are in an EU member state.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a 16,000. Do follow us and follow us on Citizens Advice Bureau website. As well.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Hopefully that helps you. Thank you very much for your call. Another caller. As I say, the phone's going mad today. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Who's that? Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, it is indeed. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Right, okay. Mm-hmm. I've been resident since 88, i.e. before we went into the EU.
Yeah.
My wife's Danish, and my children are born here. I'm permanent resident, and I'm jubilado. So, is that going to affect me? I mean, would having my wife as Danish would presumably give me cover anyway.
Well, what we have to think is when you made your application for residency, you didn't make it as a non-EU spouse of an EU resident, because remember, that will still carry on. So that's something else that's got to be looked at. Could you change your status? Could you apply? When you have to change your residency document, is it possible that you can apply instead of just changing the document is to be a spouse of EU? That's
yeah.
one way of looking at it, but nothing's been discussed. Can you imagine how much homework there is to do? We're just talking about citizens' rights, so I'm afraid I have no news on that at all, but I can see it as a possibility because they're still allowing EU citizens to bring in their non-EU spouses.
Mm. Yeah, well, especially if they've been here since 88, it might be...
Remember, for anybody that will then say that I'm saying we have to leave, I'm not. But those of us with residency will not have to leave as long as we can prove ongoing residency rights.
Okay, that sounds
all
good.
Right. Brilliant. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate that.
There is...
Yeah.
There is something that in this as well. And it says in Article 32, scope of rights in respect of United Kingdom nationals and their family members. Mm-hmm. The rights provided for this part shall not include further free movement to the territory of another member state. The right of establishment in the territory of another member state, or the right to provide service on the territory of another member state, or to persons established in another member state. So what we're saying
in English?
We're stuck here. If you're young, which I'm not, and you want to go and live after the transition period, and you want to go and live in Germany, you're not going to go just as you came here. It's going to be a different ball game in English.
It's very changeable. It's all ongoing. You can always talk to Myra every fortnight here on a Friday morning. We have her on the show every fortnight. And, of course, you can visit the excellent website of the Citizens Advice Bureau Spain, or, indeed, the Facebook page of Citizens Advice Bureau.
Can I also ask people that are not residents, we don't judge, that are not residents, that want help or advice to contact us? And I have got something up my sleeve, because I do not accept that we are going to we're going to have to jump through hoops to keep our acquired residency, right? Mm. We acquired it before the law, before UK has moved out. I can't see how they can change laws in retrospect.
Right.
But I will talk to lawyers, an international lawyer and European law, about this.
Fantastic. For those who've been reading the press this week, here's a nice happy note to finish on. according to Auto Express, the Commission have noted that it's likely that British driving licences would not be valid overseas from next year, as they recommend EU law-based rights and benefits should cease. It was suggested drivers should purchase an international driving permit, an IDP, which would allow them to drive in the EU. Just to throw that one into the pot of the end, Myra.
Because it's lovely to have so many people calling up, but we didn't explain everything from the proposal.
We can do it again. We can come back to this, because it's a shifting sand, isn't it, basically?
Yes.
That's
but
the point about this.
It keeps getting tougher instead of easier.
Life is. Myra, thank you so much.
Welcome.
Appreciate it, as always. Visit the Citizens Advice Bureau. Google Citizens Advice Bureau Spain. You'll find their webpage and you'll find their Facebook page. And you'll find Myra here back in a fortnight. Thanks, Myra. See you then.